Good morning, happy Easter, and welcome to Wesley Memorial for our Easter morning service. During the service, we will be sharing in communion together a little later on. There's also chocolate eggs. Keep calm. I managed to find the smallest chocolate eggs I could because I'm conscious that we all need to be fit. So the young people will have some first, and if there are any left over, there'll be some for all. During the service, we will occasionally use the traditional response, Christ is risen, and you will respond, he is risen indeed, hallelujah. Let's have a practice, because we only do this once a year, obviously. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, hallelujah. Fantastic. Come, let us rejoice, because Jesus, who was dead, is alive again. Let us rejoice because he lives evermore. Christ is risen.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We turn to our prayers. Let us pray. Risen Lord, on this Easter day, we bask in the knowledge of the amazing love you have for us. Today is special. We know it in the core of our beings, in the depths of our souls. The Spirit witnesses within us. Our salvation is assured. Your love conquers all fear. Mighty risen Lord, we fall at your feet in wonder. We worship and adore you for all time. And we come together on this not so ordinary Sunday. For it is Easter Sunday, the day you rose from the dead. We have gone through the fear and darkness of Good Friday with you. Now it is time to rejoice. But emotions are funny things, Lord. Sometimes we just can't put into words how we feel. Our different feelings seem to contradict each other. The women at the tomb were afraid yet filled with joy. How could that be? But we know life is like that sometimes. So we thank you that today you have taken away all our fear. And today we celebrate. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Glenda's going to come and read for us a version of Acts 10.
Imagine, if you will, that I'm a roving reporter in Jerusalem. Breaking news: a Roman centurion, Cornelius, claimed to have had a visit from an angel. The angel instructed him to invite Peter, the apostle, to his house in Caesarea. Local people have confirmed that Cornelius is a God-fearing man, but he is still a Gentile and not a Jew. So, in accepting the invitation and going to visit him, Peter was breaking Jewish law. Peter defended his actions, reporting that God spoke to him in a vision, telling him not to call anything impure that God has made clean. And he said, "Who am I to disagree with God?" A local source has told us that Peter and his colleagues spoke to a large crowd that gathered at Cornelius' house. These are the words Peter spoke. "It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God has no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. The message he sent to the children of Israel, that through Jesus Christ everything is being put together again, well, he's doing it everywhere, among everyone. You know the story of what happened in Judea. It began in Galilee after John preached a total life change. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. He went through the country helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by evil. He was able to do all this because God was with him. And we saw it all, everything he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, where they killed him, hanged him from a cross. But in 3 days, God raised him up, alive and out and about, where he could be seen. Not everyone saw him. He wasn't put on public display. witnesses had been carefully handpicked by God beforehand. We were the ones there to eat and drink with him after he came back from the dead. He commissioned us to announce this in public, to bear solemn witness that he is in fact the one whom God destined as judge of the living and dead. But we're not alone in this. Our witness that he is the means to forgiveness of sins is backed up by the witness of all the prophets.
We're going to sing another song, thank you Glenda, now. All Heaven Declares. We're going to sing the first and the second verse, then the first again. It's not a very long song, and I'm playing the drums, and so we've extended it by one so I can get a bit more drumming. No, I think it was Keith's thought that we might just play a bit on that. The words will be on the screen for you. All Heaven Declares the glory of the risen Lord. Junior Church are going to leave us now to their own activity, which involves gardening, or at least the creation of an Easter garden, in a very special pot. And we're going to try and get the pot out after it's been made. We have refreshments after the service for those who can stay, but it will live in here. So if you're passing in the week or at any time, we are open most days from 10 till 4, so please pop in and have a look at the special pot in which the garden is being made. Laurie's in charge of the chocolates, no elbowing, or it's not rugby, there's plenty. We bless you as you go. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
You're visiting with us and you are a young person. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Very good. Please feel free to join the line. How's the eggs going?
Very, very,
very well, yes.
It's a surprise.
Oh, they've been good, are they? How fantastic. Looks like there'll be plenty for us all after. It's good news. Thank you. We're going to hear from our choir now. Thank you. We're going to turn to our prayers of confession. On this holy day, we seek God's loving forgiveness. We know it in Christ. The response to lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray, is bless us with your forgiveness, as you'll see from the words before you. Let's pray. Among all the emotion and celebration of this day, we come before you now, quietly trusting our lives to you. When we don't fully understand what is happening, when we hesitate to act, lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray. Bless us with your forgiveness. When we don't trust you, O God, when fear overtakes us, when we take refuge in the tomb and don't want to come out, Lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray. Bless us with your forgiveness. When we don't take in the true importance of your resurrection, when we don't live as an Easter people, remembering that we have a faith to proclaim, lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray. Bless us with your forgiveness. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead into Galilee. There we will see him. No cause to be afraid. Today marks the day when death was vanquished. If God could do that, how much more is God able to free us from our sins? We bless you, Lord God. Amen. Malcolm's going to come and read a setting of the Easter story for us.
A happy day, the Easter story from the Storyteller Bible. It was very early, the birds were still in bed, and the sun had yet to open its bright eye on the world. The sky was grey and grainy, the air was cold, and three women walked slowly towards the graveyard. Jesus was buried there. And the women were coming to visit his grave. They talked in sad whispers, they cried, they held each other's hands. Jesus had been dead for 3 days, and they missed him very much. Just as they reached the graveyard, however, some surprising things happened. The ground began to shake, the air began to tremble, and quick as lightning, an angel flashed down from heaven and rolled the stone away from Jesus' tomb. Everything went quiet. The ground stopped moving. But the women shook with fear. "Don't be afraid," the angel said. "Come and see. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive." Arm in arm, the women crept past the angel and into the tomb. The sheets were still there, the sheets they had wrapped round his dead body. But Jesus himself was gone. "Where is he?" asked the women. "What have you done with him?" "I told you," smiled the angel. "He is not dead anymore. He's come back to life. And he wants you to tell all his friends." The women looked at each other. They didn't know whether to laugh or cry. They could hardly believe it. That is, until they hurried out of the tomb and ran straight into Jesus. "Oh, Jesus," they cried, "it's true, you are alive." And they fell at his feet, amazed. "There's no need to be afraid anymore," he said. "God has made everything all right. But I have a job for you. I want you to tell the rest of my friends that I am alive. Tell them I will meet them on the seashore in Galilee, where all our adventures started." The women waved goodbye and hurried off to Jerusalem. The birds were singing now. The sun's bright eye was wide open, and they had the most amazing story to tell.
Let us pray. O Christ, risen Lord, come to us now as we share a moment with your word and the story of our salvation, that we might hear your word and share it with others for your name's sake. Amen. Far too long ago now, I had another job. I had a number of jobs before I got a proper job, and then I gave up my proper job and became a minister. And in those other jobs, I did various things. And I have to say that it was, as I look back, a great blessing to have done different things. Mostly it was during my time of study, and so it was helpful to have the income to subsidise the joys of study. One of the jobs I had was, I worked for about 6 months in a jeweller's, a store. I was just on the shop floor. I was not selling, but doing the necessary till work. We had to have training. And one of the things that we had to be trained was how to use the machine that dealt with credit card purchases. You'll remember them, some of you are far too young. I can tell by the looks of confusion on your faces. Probably not many in the choir are confused, but anyway, you'll remember that in the olden days, nowadays we've even got a machine here, should you wish to donate to the work of this place and God's work here. We've got a machine. You get your card or even your phone now, if you've got it plugged in properly, and touch on, you can make a gift, pay for stuff in the shop. Amazing. In those days, some of you will remember that there was a sheet of paper, at least triplicate, probably more, and you had to get the machine in the right place and put the paper set in it. Then you had to take it off again because you'd forgotten to put somebody's card underneath. And one of the reasons why the cards are still have raised numbers on sometimes is because the machine needed them, because once you'd got everything in place, you slid it over and it copied the details, and then the person signed. It all sounds a bit laborious, doesn't it? Compared to what we know now. They signed and then you had to give them the yellow one, I think it was, or the green, and then you kept and put them in the till and one in one, and then they could take the goods away. I always dreaded the moment somebody went to their pocket to get out a credit card to pay, because I didn't want all the faff. I liked cash. You know where you stand with cash. And then we had COVID and cash became, well, largely irrelevant to most of our lives. One occasion, a Saturday morning, I remember it well, a young woman came in and asked for a cross. She wanted a cross necklace. And so I got the cross necklace display out from behind, unlocked, you know, the kind. Those of you who bought jewellery will know where I'm going with this story. Got the cross, put it all out, and she was looking down the crosses, and there were lots of choices. Different sizes, different materials, gold and silver and so on. Lots of different shaped, even. And she said, no, none of these things are right. I want one with a little man on it. I reflected on that experience, which is a little over 40 years ago, at a time when actually it was still assumed that most people understood that we were a Christian country and the story of the Christian gospel in Jesus was abroad. For this young woman and for many others, it was just a little man on a cross. There was no understanding of why at all. And in the intervening years, less people know than 40 years ago, despite our abilities in communication and media, the stories of Jesus and the stories of Easter in particular are lost. People are on a holiday time, but far too many have no idea why there is a holiday at this time of year, except perhaps to give university lecturers, teachers and others in the academic world a rest from the rigours of their day. People do not know. I chose the storyteller version of the Bible, because Bob Hartman, who has retold the stories of the scriptures for us, regularly includes something like the line that is found there. They had an amazing story to tell. If the story of our faith is not amazing to us, then we will not tell it. If it does not move us to the very core of our being, then we will not tell it. We will go about our lives as if nothing is different for us who come on a Sunday, perhaps, to share together. And if the story is not amazing and we do not tell it, then we become another social club amongst the myriad of opportunities for social interaction. I was told early on, when my name was changed, although I didn't know it was being changed at the time, I was born William, but because I was adopted, I got a new name. My adopted parents decided to give me a new name, and only in later life, but when I was a child, was I told. But I was told why I was called Peter, because my parents told me the stories of Peter, and through the stories of Peter, of course, the story of Jesus. Now, you may not have a biblical name, although you may find out that with a bit of rummaging, you may have and you didn't know, because there are lots of names that did not take front stage in the stories of the Bible, but they're there. And because I was told I was named after Peter, the apostle, who was close to Jesus, it helped me identify that when God calls us, he calls us by name, whatever name you happen to have. Some years ago, I was at Iona, a place of Christian pilgrimage. Some of you, I know, have been, some relatively recently. And while we were there, part of a session on one day was led by somebody who encouraged us to identify with a character from the stories of Jesus. Guess which one I chose? Of course, Peter. And then we were encouraged to write something out of one of the stories of the encounter of Jesus with the person we had chosen, our character. And I wrote this little piece, which I'm going to share with you now. When we were in the last weeks considering our role as evangelists, of tellers of the story, of the bringers of good news, one of the things that the course that we've been sharing, many of us, encouraged us to do was to try and picture our faith, to say something in an image form, or in a story form, about why being a Christian, why coming to church is important to us. Suggesting that it might be important in us that we are doing our best to share that story with other people, especially those like that young woman who have no idea of the stories of Jesus. And so I share with you now not a story of my faith necessarily, but a reflection of what I felt Peter might be feeling at that time of Jesus in his resurrection life. It seemed too good to be true, too wonderful even to contemplate that he might be alive again. And so we did what people do in disbelief. We shook our heads, we raised our eyebrows and laughed in between our tears. We wanted to believe it, of course we did, more than anything else in the world. But how could we, after all that we had seen, everything we'd been through? You see, it's all right for you. Anyone can be wise after the event. You've heard the story. But put yourself in our shoes. Imagine for just a moment what it must have been like, having seen Jesus die as we did, and then ask yourself honestly, would you have felt any different? My faith, our faith, was truly in tatters. Life seemed an empty void. How could God let it have happened? How could he have allowed a man like that to endure such a terrible end? Yet he had, and we just couldn't get that knowledge out of our minds. Oh, it had been so different when Jesus was with us. We'd looked forward then, confident, full of hope. There was no promise too wonderful, no vision beyond fulfillment. For in those few short years of his ministry, he'd shown us another way to live. The way of love, of goodness, of mercy. And you know, we had actually believed that such things could finally triumph over evil, no matter how impossible that seemed. Not anymore, though. It was back to the cold, harsh world of reality, where hopes are dashed and dreams lie broken upon the ground, where goodness is trampled underfoot and love tossed back in your face. And this time we resolved to keep our feet firmly on the ground. The thought of another disappointment, another letdown, was too much to bear. And yet, despite it all, and to be honest, because of the insistence of the women, I had to be sure, I had to go there. The flicker of hope that their words had kindled would either fan into a great flame of life, or I would lay them to rest once and for all. So I ran to the tomb, scarcely knowing what I did, and I found that the stone was rolled away just as they had said, and the grave clothes cast aside just as they had told us, and the tomb was empty. Can it really be our Lord risen, alive? I want to believe it so much, more than you'll ever know. But dare I take the risk of faith again? What do you think? Is it too good to be true? Too good not to tell the story in your life? Let us pray. Sovereign God, in a world where evil so often triumphs and good is tossed casually aside, where hatred is rampant and love taken advantage of, it is difficult not to become cynical. Any sign of the cutting edge of our faith is remorselessly blunted by the blows life deals it, to the point that though we may continue to say the right words in our hearts, we are no longer aflame. We must live in the real world, so we are told, and as we reluctantly come to accept that, we might lose sight of the kingdom of heaven and the glory of resurrection and our ability to trust in your transforming power. And so we pray this day and every day that you would rekindle our faith through the message of Easter. Remind us of all that you have done and all you are yet able to do with us and through us and in the life of the world. Assure us through your experiencing again the presence of the risen Christ in our hearts, that with you nothing is impossible. Nothing is too good to be true, for you are able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. And to you be praise and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let's sing again. Low in the grave he lay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we bring these gifts of bread and wine, as we bring the gifts of the work of our hands, in the money that we need to keep this beautiful place open to all, in our hearts and our lives that we bring to you, accept all our gifts. We thank you that you return them to us, and we pray that we may do so. In your name, as we share the story of Christ. Amen. Please do be seated. In a short while we'll share communion together. We've got the rails in place, so please do come forward. If you're not able to come forward or don't want to, but still would like to receive communion, just make that known to one of the stewards and we will share, bring the bread and the wine to you. When it comes to receiving, we're still offering for you to take rather than giving to you, so that, you know, well, that's the way we're doing it anyway. So you will be offered the plate, and please don't take it all, obviously, although you might wish to. Take a piece, and then the same with the wine and the little glasses. Please do take them as you come forward, and you can kneel or stand, whatever is your comfort or custom. We turn to our prayers of intercession as we stand between a world in confusion and hurt, and God who listens to our prayers. Let's pray. And God, we pray for the church, for your people called to shine as your light, to give flavour as your salt, to share the stories of Jesus and of God's action in the world. Help us, your people called out of darkness into your marvellous light, aliens and exiles in this world, to bring the joy and hope of Easter into the communities in which we are set. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for the world, a world which you had a hand in creating and which we have so damaged. We pray for justice and peace and for all those who work day by day for their fulfillment. We pray for those in positions of government and influence that they may truly work for the good of all, not just the few. We pray for those living in fear of violence and conflict, for those sufficiently desperate to risk life and limb and become refugees and migrant, for those who experience abuse because of who they are. Help us to do what we can, little though it seems, to make this world a better place. And we pray for the many people who have come even unto Oxford in the last year or so, to try and find safety and a new home, and a place that they might raise their families in safety. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray also for those we know and those we don't, who have a special need of our prayers. As we remember those who are sick, those facing particular challenges, opportunities, struggles, possibilities, those who are lonely, and those who have been bereaved. Grant them your Spirit's presence, O God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of life, help us to be people of hope. Make us influences for good. Enable us to play our tiny part in the building of your kingdom. Fill us with the joy of Easter as we celebrate all that you do for us. Bless us now and always. Lord, hear our prayers, the prayers spoken aloud and the unspoken prayers of our hearts, which we bring now in the name of Jesus. We gather our prayers as we share in the Lord's Prayer, saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who turn against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, Peace be with you. Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. The peace of the risen Christ be always with you.
And also with you. Hallelujah.
We take a moment to greet one another in the name of the risen Lord. Peace be with you. I think we're okay these days. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Bless you. Peace be with you, Keith. God be with you. We sing together our hymn for communion, Now the Green Blade Rises.
Thank you.
depicted. We continue with our thanksgiving. The words will appear on the screen for you to respond to, though they are familiar to you, I'm sure. And I remind you that this table is the table of Jesus, the risen Lord, not mine, not even this church's, or anyone who may have donated it at some point in the long forgotten past. It is the table that Jesus invites everyone to. Whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your life circumstance, you are welcome to this table. The bread we use is gluten-free. The wine we use is non-alcoholic. All may receive safely here that which is given by the Lord. For here is bread, God's good gift. It will become for us the bread of God. Here is wine, God's good gift. It will become for us the cup of salvation. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessing and honour, glory and power are rightly yours, O gracious God. By your creative word, you brought the world to birth. In your generous love, you made the human family, that we might see your glory and live forever in your presence. Blessing and honour, glory and power are rightly yours, O gracious God. When we wandered from you in our sin, you sought us with your steadfast love and did not give us up. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son to be our Saviour and Deliverer. Made of flesh and blood, he lived our life and died our death upon the cross. Death could not hold him, and now he reigns at your right hand. Blessing and honour, glory and power are rightly yours, O gracious God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we bless and praise your glorious name, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed indeed is the Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his friends took bread and gave you thanks, broke it and gave it to them and said, Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was ended, he took the cup and gave you thanks and gave it to them. And said, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for everyone for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Therefore, Father, we celebrate this Passover of gladness. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise. Send your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Gather us who share this feast into the kingdom of your glory, that with all your people in every time and place we may praise and worship you forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Heavenly Father, now and always. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. We meet the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. Draw near with faith. And to invite those who are our communion stewards for today to come. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fun and happiness of Easter. Thank you for food and treats. Thank you for laughter and friendship. Thank you for eggs and excitement. Thank you above all that Jesus is alive and that we can celebrate today. Amen. Our closing hymn is a celebratory one. Thine be the glory. With the women to your tomb and have felt their reactions, we have shared their dawning realization that Jesus is alive. We have experienced their joy at your living presence. Send us out with your love in our hearts and your praise on our lips, that those we meet might share our joy too. In the name of Jesus, who lives forevermore. Amen. Alleluia. Go in joy and peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia.